Tech of Sports, episode 23 for August 29th, 2012. David Eckhoff. This week on the Tech of Sports, the co-founder of Pickoff Sports, David Eckhoff. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget the Stitcher Radio app for all iOS devices. Stitcher Radio, it's an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher, smart radio for your smartphone. And the Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. The Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. You can join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific at netcaststudio.com/live, where you can join the chat room and listen to the show live. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight to what should be a great show and a great interview with David Eckhoff, who, among other things, is the co-founder of Pickoff Sports, a brand-new tech startup. And while the face of sports is constantly changing, especially when it comes to the technology and how we use it and how it enhances the way we follow our favorite teams and players and the sports themselves, from the action on the field to the technology we use as fans, high-def TVs, apps, and now social media. We'll talk about a little about that all tonight. And other things, numerous levels of the ever-changing world of sports technology with David Eckhoff. And David is here in Atlanta with me, and he's the co-founder of Pickoff Sports. And what they do is they develop web and mobile apps for sports fans to interact, compete, and have fun with their friends. And their first game, Pickoff, launched back in December of last year, where people could predict game winners and challenge friends in a social game with for sports fans. And before that, he was vice president of new products and innovation at Turner Broadcasting. And before that, he was senior vice president, and he's kind of at the start of Rivals.com, which became the main online destination for the world's most passionate sports fans. And he's been involved in online sports since the inception of them. And David, it's great to have you on, and you're a good friend, and appreciate the opportunity to talk to you again.
Well, Rick, it's good to see you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. Good timing, because football season starts literally tomorrow, Thursday, August 30th, and you guys have a lot going on with Pickoff Sports, and I'll give you we'll talk about that first, and before we go into some of the other interesting things you've done in the past, and give a little overview of Pickoff Sports and what people can do to get involved starting as early as tomorrow.
Well, Pickoff Sports is a fun game for sports fans that you play with your friends on Facebook. You know, a lot of people play fantasy sports, right? Fantasy yep. football? And the one thing we've heard so much from people who play fantasy football is it takes a lot of time. In fact, a lot of people tell us it takes too much time and that they have to stop playing it. I talked to a guy last week who told me he got fired from his job because he was playing fantasy football too much. True story.
I believe it.
So, people are time-starved. Employers are, fed up with the loss of productivity, not to mention spouses and kids. So my co-founder and I, Peter Grubin, we had an idea late last year that we were playing some of these games. We thought, wouldn't it be great if you could have all the fun of fantasy sports, talking with your friends who are sports fans, and you could have a competitive game for a fraction of the time? Wouldn't it be great if you could do that? And we didn't see any. We tried a bunch of games. We didn't see anything that we liked. And so we created one. We hacked it together in true hacker form as fast as we could, just getting something shipped so that we get people to play and start getting feedback. And the feedback that we got from people is we're onto something. They like playing this kind of game. And Pickoff Sports, it's on Facebook. You go to Facebook, and the top search bar on Facebook, you do search for Pickoff Sports. That's Pickoff with a P. Go into the app, and you're going to see it will present this week's games for NFL, college football, Premier League soccer. If it's Major League Baseball, if it's current game and it's a major sport, we've got it. And just all you have to do is pick who's going to win the game. And if you pick right, you get points. And if you pick wrong, you lose some points. And you play this against your Facebook friends. And the whole thing is to show that you know sports better than your friends. And the more points you accumulate, the higher up you are on the leaderboard and the higher status is against your friends. And we've added a twist to it that this is really great. As you accumulate points, you can challenge one of your friends. So let's say I'm a fan of the New England Patriots. I've got some friends up, Facebook friends up in New York. They're the fans of the Giants. When the Patriots played the Giants, I can challenge them any amount of the points that I've earned up to that point. I could take, if I've earned 100,000 points, I could put it all on the line in that one game. And if I win, if I pick right, I get all 100,000 and my friend loses all 100,000. Of course, if I pick wrong, I lose all 100,000. I'm going to plummet in the leaderboard. So it's we've taken the idea of a pick 'em game, and we've added a super, super fun component that makes the game competitive. And the way to win the game is to make lots of picks, pick right, but you got to step up and put something on the line if you're really going to win it. We offer prizes. So each week, whoever is number one in college football, whoever's number one in NFL gets a prize. And end of the season, the top three winners will get prizes also.
Yeah, it's a great competition because, you know, sports fans at heart are really into competition. So this just kind of fuels the fire for them. But it's also interesting. I think what's unique about it is the social media component to it, through Facebook. So you're playing with friends and people you interact with all the time. So that kind of ramps up the competitive fire a little bit more, I think. Is that kind of what you're aiming at?
Exactly. And, you know, when my co-founder, Peter Grubin, and I were playing these games late last year, what we found is these games are on, like, large portals. And we found that getting our friends, all of our friends, they're all on Facebook. And trying to get your friends to go someplace else, it's just really hard to do. So we thought, rather than try to get our friends someplace else, let's put the game to where the friends are. And it turns out when you do that, put the game where the friends are on Facebook, get you playing against your friends. Just like you said, it makes it competitive, it makes it fun, and it's just amazing. You play this kind of game, and when it's with your friends on Facebook, it just changes the nature of the game. It makes it so fun and competitive.
And yeah, like you said, I like the part about it where it doesn't take up much time. You don't have to watch waiver wires and go attend drafts and reject trades and that type of thing. It's gambling and competitive picking of sports at its core. You pick the winner and move on to the next game. So I think that's pretty unique. And while football is king when it comes to this type of thing, fantasy sports, you know, out of how many millions of people are involved in fantasy football, and, you know, in baseball it's popular, but you just kind of glance through it real fast. But you have other sports as well. And is that, are you looking at a broad range of sports when it comes to something like this, and possibly even going into, golf, who in that threesome, who shot the lowest each round, and tennis, individual matches at tournaments? Is that kind of looking into the future a little bit for you?
Yeah, Rick, as we look ahead, you know, sports are global. It's the one topic that just about everyone cares about. People have great passion for sports, and it's not just in the U.S., it's globally. And so we have, over the past month, a lot of people asking us if we do Premier League soccer. Now, I'm a U.S. football fan. I'm not personally as much of a fan of soccer. But when our customers tell us they're interested and passionate about soccer, we listened to our customers and we launched Premier League soccer in it. If it's a sport and it's got a major following of passionate fans, we want to have it as part of Pickoff Sports. And you mentioned golf. Right now what we've got is if two teams play against one versus the other, it can be a pickoff. Golf is a little bit different because golf has got numerous players playing against each other, kind of like horse racing.
Sure.
It's not one versus the other. Or NASCAR, it's not one versus the other. So we'll have that sometime in the future. But we just launched an alpha in January. We just shipped our beta just a couple weeks ago. And, Rome wasn't built in the day, in one day, as the expression says. And we'll catch up with some of that. But right now, like you said, in the U.S., football is king, NFL, college football, and, Major League Baseball, of course, is popular. We got a lot of activity around college basketball, NBA in season. And, we do them all. You ever play during March NCAA tournament bracket picks?
Who doesn't?
Yeah, who doesn't? It's I think I read something like 40 million people in the U.S. do that. And, just about everyone. So why do people do that? It's because they have a lot of fun doing it. It's fun to play that kind of game where you just pick and see how you do against other people. What we've done, it's incredible. We take all the fun of that during NCAA bracket tournament that otherwise ends in March, we make it all year round. So like sports fans tell us they love it. We love it. We play, and it's just amazing. It's incredible.
It really is, and I like the fact that you're kind of starting out slowly and kind of taking it each sport by sport and kind of perfecting it and making sure you're doing it correctly rather than jump in and have 20 different sports and not being able to handle it and not being able to do it right. You guys are a tech startup technically. And so, I mean, there's certain things, I mean, and you know from other endeavors you've had kind of how to start out slowly and ramp it up and, you know, move on. It's different steps you have to go through to be successful and to get your brand and the product out there. And I think you guys have done a good job with, doing it one step at a time. And you know, I think the people that are playing the game, they may not realize that on the surface, but, you know, it pays dividends. You know, like I said, it'll pay dividends down the road for you.
It really does, Rick. And you mentioned I've been doing this for a while. I got my start in 1999 with Rivals.com, and I've been doing online sports ever since, and tech startups. And so some of the things I've learned in product development are it's better to launch with something small, launch with something fast, and just ship something and start getting feedback from customers and then iterate based on that feedback. I find that trying to do something that's like I call a big bang launch, where you spend like an entire year in development, spend multi-million dollars developing something, you ship it a year later, and one of two things typically happens. Either you built something that nobody wants, and it's a big failure, or the market has passed you by during that time. So I had the chance a few years ago to spend a day with Marissa Meyer, who at the time was vice president at Google. If you want to learn something about how to do product development, Marissa Meyer is a great person to learn from. She's now the CEO at Yahoo.
Sure.
And one of the things that I learned from Marissa Meyer is in how they do things at Google: launch early, launch often, fail fast, and fail cheap. Get feedback from customers and keep iterating. And this is our playbook. This is what we do with Pickoff Sports. So every week we ship, we listen to customers, we ship, we iterate, and that's the name of the game. I had a chance to go into tour at Georgia State University a couple of months ago. Facilities. They've got a great coach who's Bill Curry, legendary with the NFL and college, and he's going to be retiring after this year. But he has a sign up that's a motivational sign for all his football players. It says, improve 1% every day. And here at Pickoff Sports, we try to do the same thing. Improve 1% every day. If you improve 1% every day, every week you improve cumulatively at least 10%. You do that every week. End of the month, you've included, you've improved quite a bit. End of the quarter, real lot of improvement. So that's what we do. And you're right. And we ship something in tech startup, you call it minimal viable product, which is you just start with what's the essence of what you're doing. Ship it, and then start building up from there.
A lot of people are fascinated by tech startups and just by startups in general. Shark Tank has become a popular television show because people have an idea or a product or a service and they're looking to take it to the next level. You guys are involved here in Atlanta with the Georgia Tech's Flashpoint Accelerator program for tech startups. Even though you have a lot more experience than the people there at Georgia Tech, even you're part of that program. So tell a little bit about that program, what it means to people just starting out, and what it means to someone like you that has vast experience in online sports and in technology.
So you mentioned Flashpoint. It's part of Georgia Tech, and it's an accelerator program for startups. Well, what does that mean? It's a program for 14 startups come together in shared office space with an educational curriculum to teach us some really important principles about how to start and run a startup. And things that are not everyone knows, or if you know, not commonly applied. And hundreds of companies applied. 14 were accepted. We're one of the 14, very pleased about that. And it's an educational curriculum. It's to teach you things that you might not otherwise be doing, and then hold you accountable to doing them. And this is something that's like one of the things I really wanted was, even a world-class, you mentioned I already have lots of business experience. Well, a couple of things I know. One, I don't know everything. There's always something new to learn. There's always something where you can improve. And Even world-class athletes, a world-class athlete needs a great coach. So with Flashpoint, the head of the program, his name is Merrick First, and he is a coach. He's a great coach for startups. We learn a lot from him. Every week we have classes. He teaches us. We have guest speakers. And there's a set of a roster of mentors. Some of the best business minds in Atlanta are mentors through Flashpoint. And every week on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m., we have to report what we did this week. We have a stand-up presentation in front of like 50 people. And you've got to say, here's what our hypothesis was for the week. Here's what we tested. Here's what we did. Here's what here's the results. And here's what we think we learned. Here's what we think we know now. And if every week you know you've got to be accountable for testing and results, and coaching to show you how to do it right and show you where you're doing it wrong, this is just fantastic. You can't put a price on something like that. So I'm really pleased to be part of that. The Flashpoint program goes for 3 months and accumulates with demo days. We'll do a demo day to investors in Atlanta, a couple hundred of them on September 11th, followed by New York at Union Square Ventures on September 13th. And the following week, we're on the road to San Francisco at Mithril Partners, investment firm there. And that will also be in front of a couple hundred investors. So this is it's a great opportunity for all the startups to be part of it. And you know, one of the things I like the best, I really should mention, we've got 14 companies. We all sit with each other all day long, and we're there to support each other, to collaborate, learn from each other, and help each other. And that's, if you're a startup and you're just very early stage, a lot of times it can get really lonely and you're trying to do it all on your own. It's just fantastic to have the support of other people who are like-minded, who have their own startups, and you can help each other and encourage you, encourage each other. That's just a fantastic part of it. Flashpoint is one accelerated program. There are many others. Best known ones are Y Combinator, TechStars. This is the one in Atlanta. I live in Atlanta, and this one has just been fantastic. I'm so grateful to be part of it. And Merrick First has been a fantastic coach and mentor.
Yeah, you mentioned a key word there, I think, encouragement. And while you said, running a tech startup can be lonely, it can probably also be frustrating for people. And I think when you're with a group of other companies that are just like you or similar to you, you get frustrated. You kind of, I wouldn't say you have another shoulder to cry on, but you have somebody else there that's probably going through the exact same thing you're going through. So you can kind of maybe work out the problems together or commiserate or, go to lunch and hash out something. So it's probably good to throw all you guys together and see what comes out of that.
There's not a whole lot of crying going on in Flashpoint, but I'll tell you what. If you're an entrepreneur and anyone who's done something on their own, tried something new, whether it's an entrepreneur or otherwise, you know that if you're in the business of doing new things, the world doesn't welcome new ideas readily. And so you've got to have great persistence. And typically, if you're an entrepreneur, you have very high highs and very low lows. And they tend to happen like every 5 minutes. And so it takes a special person to be an entrepreneur and to be able to do that. But being able to work with other people who are going through the same kind of thing, and you learn from each other, what better learning is there than learning from each other at the same time that you're learning from a great coach? And that's really what it's all about. We're there for each other.
Sure.
Sports are team sports. Business, this in Flashpoint, it's like a team sport. We're all there to help each other.
That's a great, some great words there, the team sports of comparing it to a tech startup. I heartily agree. And just grab a sip of water for a second here, David. We're going to take the one commercial break here that we have during the show. And it's a little online ad for Amazon.com. And I'll just do it real quickly here that here at the Netcast Studio, we have an affiliate link. It's netcaststudio.com/Amazon. And for any of your shopping needs on Amazon, that link is great. It helps support the studio here and the variety of shows that are offered. And, we hope we're doing a good job bringing you a lot of good online content and various subjects. And netcaststudio.com/Amazon. And I usually feature a book each week or something you can buy with that link. But since school's starting all over the country, Amazon has been really proactive in getting textbooks and books for universities and high schools online now. And a lot of people are going with that option. And Amazon really is the online shopping destination for online textbooks and school books, and Amazon's done a great job with that. So if you're buying any textbooks online or anything for your school, netcaststudio.com/Amazon. And really appreciate you using that, and thanks for watching. And we're with David Eckhoff here, who's the co-founder of Pickoff Sports, which is an online game, social media type game, sports picking game. It's a lot of things, and he's given some good insight on into his company and to running a tech startup. But, you know, David, when you guys said you have a group of people there, I would hazard to guess there's nobody there that has more experience, especially in online sports, especially, but just in the online universe, than maybe you. And, you know, you've been a sport, you're a big sports fan, so it was only kind of natural you got involved in the business, in the world of sports. And it was kind of by accident, I guess. I've heard the story, and so take us back to kind of your days at North Carolina and quickly go through getting started with sports journalism and kind of a new way of reporting and featuring sports.
Well, Rick, I grew up in Boston, and Boston's a great sports town. And I went to school for business school for my MBA at the University of North Carolina. So I went from Beacon Hill to Chapel Hill. Total culture shock. Totally different living in the South if you're from the Northeast. But, you know, I totally fell in love with Chapel Hill. And there's one thing that Chapel Hill has that didn't exist for me in Boston. And that's like an amazing world-class college basketball team with the University of North Carolina Tar Heels. And you can't go to school there and not go to the games and not get totally into it. And I love going to the basketball games there. After I graduated from Carolina with my MBA, I went to work at IBM and Research Triangle Park as a financial analyst and an accountant. And you know what? This is like had to be one of the most mismatched jobs and people of the century. All my friends said, like, you're going to be an accountant. You're going to be the world's worst accountant, and you're not going to like it. And you know what? They were right. I was bored out of my mind being an accountant. I needed a creative outlet. And there was one day I went to University of Massachusetts undergrad, and I got the University of Massachusetts Alumni Magazine. And there was a story about a couple of guys who started a sports magazine covering University of Massachusetts football and basketball. Now, you know, sports at UMass were not anything like they are at UNC. John Calipari was there. He was just starting to take the program to new levels. But I thought, I got to subscribe to that because I don't hear enough about UMass sports when I'm in North Carolina. Then all of a sudden this light bulb went on in my head. You know what? If someone can have a magazine like that for University of Massachusetts, can you imagine how big it would be? What if somebody created a magazine like that for University of North Carolina? It would be huge. So I didn't have any background in journalism. And I put together a plan. And my friends I shared it with said, you've got like something great here. You're obviously into it. Go ahead and do it. It would be like a really cool business to do. You can keep working at IBM, and you can run that as a business at nights and weekends. Go to the games at nights and weekends. Bring some other people into it to work with you, and you can have like a really fun thing. And so the reality is, I didn't do this to change careers. I did just because I thought it would be a really cool, fun thing to do. And I thought, how amazing would it be also, I mean, just go to the games. I mean, if you're a fan of the team, like how cool would it be to get press passes to go to the games, interview the players, interview the coaches, and like be part of it working. Well, that's just incredible. And I didn't know that it's not just commonly done like that. And a lot of times I find the people who do startups, if you don't know it can be done, that works to your advantage. Because sure, the people who know it can't be done, who go ahead and do it anyway. And that was the case with this. So we started Inside Carolina in 1994. In 1994, remember, this is really before the web. By 1995, the web was just getting started, at least for most of us. And I instantly saw the potential to be able to take the monthly print magazine that we had and have 24-hour news reporting for UNC basketball and football and not be limited by the confines of a monthly magazine. We just dove into that full out. And a couple of years later, there was a I'll come back to that, like what we did later. But yeah, so University of North Carolina football and basketball, Inside Carolina, I was in the trenches every day for 7 years reporting on UNC basketball and football. And it was fantastic. What an amazing life opportunity to be able to do that. I remember being there when Dean Smith was the basketball coach, all the way through the time Coach Smith retired, to seeing the rise of the football program at University of North Carolina, to women's soccer with Anton Dorrance, one of the most winning programs in all of sports, UNC women's soccer. It's just an ACC football and ACC basketball. Like, if you're a sports fan, if you're a sports fan, what else could you want? Though we covered UNC, some of the best games would be going to Cameron Indoor Stadium, for example, and covering that as working press. I mean, what an amazing environment for basketball. You know, of course, if you're a partisan covering UNC, that's not your team. But, I mean, you've got to respect it, and you've got to really, just what an amazing experience. And I saw so much in 7 years. When I pull back from it, I already knew I was passionate about technology. I mean, I worked at IBM, loved technology. I discovered I had a new something new that I also had a passion for, and that was media and this intersection between media and technology. And I launched Inside Carolina. It's because I thought it'd be a really cool, interesting business, and I needed a creative outlet apart from what I was doing in accounting at IBM. And you know something? I discovered I had a new passion. And just by taking this action, it put me on a new path. It put me in a new path. And you know what happens when you go on a new path? Eventually, you reach a new destination. And that's what happened with this. I didn't do it to change my career, but that one decision to start a magazine covering UNC basketball and football completely changed my career. Unbelievable. Just amazing. Never could have predicted it. And I've been doing stuff at the media of intersection and technology ever since. And I get really jazzed by it. This is my specialty. It's what I love. I'm so thankful that I've been able to do that. And I've been doing online sports for the past 15 years, just getting my start with Inside Carolina and doing a lot of really early pioneering work. Inside Carolina still exists. I sold that business in 2000. And the mortality rate for magazines, right?
Especially these days, yeah.
These days, but any days, the mortality rate for print magazines is very high. So I'm very proud that I created a business model for a magazine, something that I don't think anyone had really done before. Today you might call it open source journalism. And so we took a different approach to how we did our writing. And here's something I found. Originally, we started with students from the School of Journalism at UNC. I found that many of them were not that good. I found many of them weren't that good at writing. This is kind of surprising. Many of them didn't really, they don't have the life experience yet to have common sense on things. And they weren't necessarily passionate about sports. And it showed in the work. And I experiment, this is 1995, just interest getting started. I discovered that there were some people writing about sports, all day long writing about sports on something called Usenet groups. And a guy named Thad Williamson, he was writing prolifically about UNC sports, and you could see he had great passion, and he was a fantastic writer. And I asked him, how'd you like to be part of this? And he said, are you kidding? Of course I'd love to do that. So he became one of our reporters. And I started sourcing my reporting team from people who were already writing online. You could see that they're very high-quality writing, but mostly really super knowledgeable about the teams and super passionate about what they're doing. And for them to have the opportunity to go to games with press passes and write about the team, this to them is like a dream come true. I found they did a fantastic job. And we took people who aspired to be professional journalists, had never done it before, and it changed their career. There are people like Andrew Jones. He now covers the ACC for Fox. Adam Lucas at UNC. He's a now published multi-book published author. And he runs his own magazine now covering UNC. And it's just really an amazing thing to be able to see the business model, create people who become professional sports reporters, and also to see the Inside Carolina still thriving. And the people who own it now have done a fantastic job with it. All credit to them for doing that. But if you start something, you really love to see it continue and thrive.
Sure.
Real proud that the seeds that I planted have grown and continue to thrive. So that was Inside Carolina. And, I'll tell you what, I saw all sorts of crazy things. When if you're just watching the games on TV, you don't really know what goes on behind the scenes. When you're there in person and you see how the sausage is made, so to speak, some of it's not so pretty. And I saw stuff crazy, some of the worst stories of things you see when you cover sports. You just can't even believe some of the stuff that you see that, happens. I could probably talk for hours about some of the stories. We won't do that now.
I believe you. I see it all the time too, David. And you know, sports fans, they like seeing a lot of that background information and kind of the behind the scenes things. And, you know, that's kind of what online sports is covered like print, you know, journalism before really didn't. And, you know, people really like to see that. It kind of adds the human element to sports, especially, you know, college sports versus pro sports. I mean, college sports, these are still technically kids, but I mean, it is big business now, college sports. So, I mean, there's, you know, they're kind of held to a higher standard than they've ever been before too. But then I guess talk about how your path kind of morphed. And if you're a sports fan or a passionate sports fan, you know what people know what Rivals.com is, and kind of how you got involved in that, and kind of how that kind of took off and got gobbled up eventually, you know, by Yahoo and became part of the biggest sports site in the world.
Living in South Carolina, working at IBM as an accountant, and there was an entrepreneur in Washington State named Jim Heckman. Jim had a magazine just like mine covering University of Washington called Sports Washington. Jim came up with the idea that every magazine like ours was going to need a great platform on the internet. And it didn't make sense for them to do it on their own. Why would it make sense for like every one of these niche team site magazines to create their own website infrastructure? It really doesn't. And so he came up with a great centralized infrastructure and that would make it easy for any sports reporter from any of these niche magazines to just do what they do best, which is cover their favorite team and not worry about technology. Then he also did something. Once you band them together in one network, his idea was he could go out and sell national advertising against that. Now, I was in South Carolina. I couldn't call on like Coca-Cola nationally, and we didn't have the scale. But when you band together like 500 of these, then you get enough scale, you can do that. And his idea was they would sell the advertising and they'd share the revenue. So that company in its infancy, they recruited in South Carolina to be the North Carolina site within their network. They licensed their content. They didn't buy us outright. They licensed it. Created a great technical platform for us and some national advertising sales. So I didn't have to fuss with the technology. We would just cover sports. That's all we wanted to do anyway, not fuss with technology. And I spent a lot of time talking with Mr. Heckman during that year with ideas for how to take things to the next level. And I remember I came home from work one day from IBM and my phone rang. And I picked it up and he said, he's like, Eckhoff, it's Heckman. I just got $20 million from Hummer Winblad. That's a venture capital firm. He said, I want you to quit IBM, come work for me as vice president and lead our national rollout. And this is completely out of the blue. This is like unbelievable. I mean, I'm listening to this saying, wow, I could finally leave behind this thing in accounting that I didn't like. I could go do what I really, truly love. And like I could do it with a super hot startup. Like this is unbelievable. So of course I did that. We moved to Seattle and I led the national expansion of Rivals.com. This was in 1999. And we grew the site from in the infancy. We maybe had like 10 employees, 50 magazines were part of it. In one summer, we grew it to 1.5 million users, several hundred team site magazines, and 200 employees. And the growth was just unbelievable. And it was a rocket ship ride up, just incredible. And if you're a college sports fan, you know what Rivals.com does. It focuses on college sports, recruiting news, and it does it, I think, better than anyone else on the planet. And that was in 1999. And a funny thing happened after 1999. 2000 happened. The advertising market fell out, bottom fell out from under the fat. And the company, as much as it had a rocket ship ride up, the downside for the next year was a completely different experience. And that was trying to save the company when there was no revenue. This advertising market went off a cliff. The CEO of Rivals stepped down or pushed out, depending on who you have talked to, what they'll tell you different stories. But he was out, and it really left us remaining to do the best we could to save the company. And, you know, some realities of within financial models. If you remember what things were like in 2000, very few companies were able to be saved. But a really great outcome happened for Rivals.com. The best outcome that could have happened was some people who were part of the company acquired the assets of the company, they took what we built, and they continued on with that model. I just think that's fantastic to see that happen. They moved it to a low-cost area in Tennessee instead of being in a high-cost area in Seattle. Instead of having 200 highly paid engineers, they right-sized it. So they had like 10 to 20 people. And that's really what should have happened to begin with. I mean, in retrospect, if you look at 1999, it was a different time. The CEO of that company, I think, being pushed to get big fast. I think that you got to look at your I mean, I was a former financial analyst. You've got to look at your revenues. You've got to keep your expenses in line. And you did a good job with that. They took what we built, and they this continued on with it, improved it, and then rid out the economic cycle, and then Yahoo acquired it for $100 million. So what a fantastic end result for the company to see something that you built that almost completely went down the tubes, see it rise from the ashes, and then people who worked with you and for you to see them have that kind of years later. I mean, that's just unbelievable. It's fantastic. So we're really happy that Rivals.com is now owned by Yahoo. Yahoo has its own challenges these days. And it's still, in my view, the world leader in college sports. I like knowing that I was in at the beginning of it, helped create it, and build it into really what it was going to become later. After I left Rivals, and by the way, Rivals.com, I met Peter Grubin. Peter Grubin was part of the executive team, and I continued to work with Peter. Peter's my co-founder on Pickoff Sports. We've worked with each other throughout the year since. This is the fourth time working with each other. After Rivals.com, we both went to Real Networks, and we pioneered web audio streaming with NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, 300 college sports teams through College Sports TV. And we pioneered something new. We've been in the business of disrupting sports and innovating and pioneering in sports since online started. Sure. So it was on to Rivals, Real Networks to do that. Then Peter went on to Scout.com. Scout.com, similar to Rivals.
In yep.
fact, Jim Heckman came back and did that from scratch. That's his way to get back into the game. And good job by them and that team to build out a product like that from scratch. Peter Grubin, my co-founder, was part of that team. That eventually was acquired by they sold that to Fox. I think it was around $60 million. And then I went to Turner Broadcasting as vice president of new products and pioneered broadcast of sports for sports that are not otherwise on TV and the technology around that. So Peter and I have been innovating in sports and disrupting the sports industry for a long time. And the thing we're doing now, I haven't been this excited about a new business since Rivals.com in 1999.
Right.
We've a team that's done it before, this crazy great team that's done it before. And we've got the take all this that's happening now, add Facebook to it, and you've got something that's got just unbelievable. It's huge.
It really is, and like I said before, the adding of the social media component really is important, and you know. They really didn't have that when you were back at Rivals, so that's something new. But, I mean, Rivals still does a great job, like you said, covering recruiting and just kind of the day-to-day activities of a particular team and a particular sports at a particular university. They still do a good job with that, and I'm sure it's a good feeling to know that you were in kind of on the ground floor on that. I guess the last thing I kind of wanted to ask you, though, your take on sports journalism today, where – they try to bring, you know, Hollywood kind of into it. They kind of try to maybe tone down or dumb down the coverage of sports. I mean, sports fans are not dumb, and they're, you know, fan is short for fanatic. So these people want to ingest all sorts of information and updates about a team and, you know, behind the scene things. But, you see this with coverage of the Super Bowl and maybe March Madness to a point, because, and with the Olympics, definitely, they want to try to broaden the reach of sports, so they kind of dumb down their coverage, and, you know, the Olympics was a great example of that. Is that a problem, do you think, now? And you know, should are the real sports fans kind of suffering because of this a little bit?
Rick, here's what I think. We live in exciting times. I think there's never been a more exciting time to be a sports fan or sports fanatic that in 2012. I mean, you look back, I mean, the kind of things you can do as a sports fan now, you can never do before. The access you can get, the amount of coverage you can get, the interaction with the sports fans, the interaction with reporters. I mean, there's never been a better time to be a fan. And the same thing, I think there's never been a better time if you're a sports reporter and you're good at what you do. Now, if you just write like a generic article that's not that interesting, I mean, I don't think that's that valuable. But if you're out there, you're getting the scoop, you're telling it like it is, you're mixing in your opinion in with it. You got something to say that's intelligent? I think there's never been a more exciting time to be a reporter because you can do so much now that you couldn't do before. Before, you couldn't contact the people. You couldn't be in connection with people who were reading your articles before. Now, not only are you in contact with them before you write, while you write, after you write, you're getting instant feedback. I mean, this is just, if you're a reporter, this is phenomenal to be not only close to the athletes and the teams, but close to the people who you're writing for. I know when I write, I think that's just, I love that. That's fantastic. I thrive on that. But also, it's not just about writing now. You know, with technology, everybody's got an iPhone. But if you have an iPhone like this, you're not just a reporter who's writing. You can go live and broadcast live on Ustream. Yep. You can do what CNN can do. As one person, you can get photos, you can get video. You don't need expensive equipment. You don't need a multi-million dollar truck like they have, say, at Turner Broadcasting when they do NBA and TNT. You can do it all from this iPhone. And so if you're a reporter and you are out hustling, you can be like a one-man media show now. So I think there's never been a better time, more exciting time to be able to do stuff. Now, to what you mentioned before, is some of it done down? Well, I suppose there's all kinds of sports fans or people who are knowledgeable and passionate, and they're fanatics like you described. There are people who are more casual fans. I think that the wonderful thing about today is there's something for everyone. If whatever it is you want, it's out there and you can get it. And even better, if it's something you don't want, you can, so to speak, change the channel. Sure. Whether that's online, one click, change the channel and get to what you do want. So the power rests with each person. And then even more so, if you don't like the coverage that's out there, you can do a startup. And you can do it the way you think it should be done. And if it really is that good, then you could be like the next Mark Cuban. Well, like, this is why I say we live in exciting times. Everyone has the power to make their dreams come true today. Like, and that's what we're doing with Pickoff Sports. We saw there weren't the kind of social activities for sports fans that we wanted, and the sports fans are telling us that we need. So we said, if they don't exist, we're going to create it.
You're right on that. You're right on that, David. And some of the best coverage, as the Hurricane Isaac has been going on today, some of the best coverage I've seen on that was shot by the people that were affected by it. It wasn't the news channel, CNN, the Weather Channel, Fox. It was the people that were right there involved in it. They sent back some unbelievable pictures and video, and that was really amazing to see, and all done with their smartphones and their tablets shooting everything. It's just amazing. And you're right about, if you don't like the way something works, you, in this day and age, you can set about to go out and change it. And people are doing that every day with startups and new ideas, and through social media. You have access now. You have followers. You have a brand, and you can really run with that. And I always ask all my guests, David, one last question here, and you maybe tipped us off a little bit when you pulled out your phone, but what's the one piece of modern technology that you can't live with in your professional or personal life?
Oh, man, that's got to be my iPhone. With this one device, what it's able to do for connecting with people through email, through video, and instantly. I mean, like, this is like in my pocket, and I carry this with me wherever I go. I can run my business on this. I can do everything on this. It's unbelievable. And if you play this out 5 years from now, can you imagine? I mean, just 5 years ago, this didn't exist. 6 years ago, this didn't exist. So play this out 5 years from now. What are you going to be able to do? They're just super powerful. So the one device I can't live without now, it's my iPhone, for sure.
I agree, and I'm sure you'll possibly be in line when that new iPhone comes out in about a few weeks, too. So knowing you, you'll want the latest. So we'll get your opinion on that when it comes out, too. And David, give one more little plug in the information, how people can participate in Pickoff Sports each day of the year.
You bet. If you're a sports fan, if you play fantasy sports, even if you just do March Madness, if you like college football, NFL, whatever it is, go to Facebook. In the Facebook search area, search for Pickoff Sports. Two words, Pickoff with a P. Go in. Just start making your picks. Invite your friends, because, of course, games are more fun when you play with your friends. And just start competing. Show your friends that you know more about the teams than they do. You're going to have a good time. It's just it's a fantastic thing. You'll have fun. It's competitive. But the best thing about it, it doesn't take too much of your time. It takes just the right amount of time. All the fun with a fraction of the time. So we look forward to seeing you there. Pickoff Sports.
Yeah, absolutely. I recommend everybody to go check it out. And like you said, it doesn't take up a lot of time. And I think that's important in a day where a lot of us are suffering from social media overload. So that's important. And for sports fans, it's a no-brainer. And David, I really appreciate you coming on. You're a good friend and a good resource. And loved having you on. And look forward to lunch at that burger place that you mentioned the last time. We'll head there soon.
You got it, Rick. Thanks for having me on the show, and I look forward to getting some burgers with you. And also, I look forward to whooping your butt in pickoff.
Oh, there's fighting words there. We'll see what happens. I'll be on there tomorrow, and we'll give it a go. And David, great having you on, and have a good rest of the week. And thanks for all the information. And just want to let everyone know as we wrap up that Netcast Studio has many other shows which may be of interest. And you can head over anytime to netcaststudio.com. Check out all the shows and the variety of content available. Waves of Tech will be coming up later tonight. And you've been listening to the Tech of Sports podcast, a Netcast Studio production.